Welcome to The Weekly, a look back at WHQR's top stories of the past 7 days. It's Saturday, September 12th. I'm Caitlin Freund. All eyes were on UNCW this week. On Tuesday, the university announced that roommates would be relocated so that every on-campus student would have their own room. The plan to relocate about 800 students comes after the county health department approached the university about the local surge in cases among 18 to 24-year-olds. I filed the following report. Carla Turner is New Hanover County's assistant health director.
You know, a couple weeks ago, we started seeing an increase in this age range, and we followed the trend. And after about 7 to 10 days, we saw that it was continuing to rise and it was not going down. So we just reached out to them based on the increased number of positives we were seeing in this age range.
The university's solution? Split up roommates.
They already had plans for what they wanted to do. We encouraged them when they shared that they wanted to try to split the students up and put them in single rooms. We felt like that was a really good first step.
Roommates may also opt to move back home for a prorated refund of their housing and dining contracts, but are not permitted to move off campus unless residing with parents or guardians. And to prevent students from signing a lease off campus and potentially spreading the virus, the university is requiring those moving off campus to complete a form, which confirms they intend to return home for the semester for a prorated refund. It's unclear yet how many students have decided to go home rather than relocate to single rooms on campus. More than 3,000 students, faculty, or staff have tested positive on the 16 college campuses in the UNC system. UNCW announced its sixth cluster on Wednesday. WUNC's Liz Schlemmer visited the Wilmington campus this week to see how students are dealing with the pandemic.
Walking through UNCW's quad, some things feel like a normal fall semester, with familiar sights like student volunteers running a voter registration drive. Other things look very different. Chancellor's Walk is a long corridor that runs between classroom buildings at UNC Wilmington. This week, just a handful of students walk or ride their skateboards or beach cruisers down this wide sidewalk. That's where junior James Houghton is registering voters.
It's eerie to see Chancellor's this empty, especially at, you know, what time is it now, 1? Usually, I mean, it's wall to wall. The centerpiece is all full of people walking around.
UNC Wilmington isn't in full shutdown mode yet. The school reported more than 270 positive cases since the semester began 4 weeks ago, compared to about 1,000 cases each at UNC Chapel Hill in East Carolina. While those universities have already moved all undergraduate classes online, UNCW is taking a smaller step this week to curb outbreaks. The university is asking for half of the students living on campus in double rooms to move to single rooms or go home. And roommates are supposed to decide between the two of them which will leave. Houghton says it's all the talk on campus.
A lot of the freshmen are like freaking out. It's kind of like the Hunger Games. And the roommates are having to pretty much fight over who leaves and who stays.
This sudden policy change on top of an already mixed up and uncertain semester is stressing out student resident assistants like Anne.
I'm beyond stressed, always scared, and oftentimes just confused on what's happening.
We're withholding Anne's full name because as a university employee, she fears negative repercussions. Like other RAs, she's had to deliver news about the housing change to residents and enforce rules around the clock with not always compliant students. She says RAs are worn out.
A lot of the RAs will get together and it's gonna sound sad, but we cry together. After our meeting on Monday, I messaged my staff and said, who wants to go on an angry walk? And we went around campus and we had to get our anger out because it just feels like no one is hearing us.
She's disappointed by the lack of information she receives from her higher-ups in the housing office and the continued tone that everything is fine.
We had a meeting on Monday and we were told that our cases were really good because they aren't that bad. Define good.
The university declined WNC's request to interview any high-ranking administrator. William Becker is a sophomore who writes for the student newspaper, The Seahawk. As a morning ritual, he checks the university's online dashboard where new cases are reported.
So every morning I check and, you know, there's at least like a 10 to 20 increase every day, pretty consistently.
At this point, he personally knows students who have tested positive for COVID-19 or been exposed. Becker says he doesn't understand what the threshold is for sending students home.
It's kind of just been like a betting game, like, oh, we're going to be online in 2 weeks, we're going to be online in a month.
This uncertainty is affecting faculty, too. I asked Professor Derek Miller how he's feeling these days, and his answer was swift.
Tired. Everyone is a little more on edge than usual. Everyone's a little more mistrustful than usual. Tension's higher.
Because so many of his students are heading home, Miller will likely have to move his German class online. The resident assistant, Anne, says she's not waiting around for the next spike. She's made plans to resign her job as an RA as soon as her family can pick her up.
It's not that I don't care. It's just that I'm tired and I'm sad a lot and I'm scared. And it sounds maybe babyish to say I just want to go home to the comfort of my home, but like, I want to go home.
Many other students are watching and waiting, anticipating the day when they may be headed home as well. Liz Schlemmer, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.
You're listening to The Weekly from WHQR Public Media. In local education news, New Hanover County Schools recently welcomed a new superintendent. WHQR's Rachel Keith spoke with Dr. Charles Faust about the challenges and opportunities he sees as he begins the job.
Charles Faust received his doctorate in professional leadership from the University of Houston and took his first teaching job in Guilford County, North Carolina. He then moved into school administration and was most recently superintendent of Kansas City Public Schools.
Superintendent Faust, welcome to Wilmington and thanks for taking the time to speak with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You began your career as a fourth grade teacher. How did your time in the classroom shape your views on education, and how does it affect the way you approach the job of superintendent?
So one of the things that I think as a superintendent or as an educator, you never leave the field of educating. And so I can always draw back on my degree. I'm still certified as a K-6 teacher, so I know what it's like to be a teacher. And then there are times where you have to be the superintendent. But however, at the heart of it, I'm still a teacher.
As you know, you're arriving in New Hanover County schools at a difficult time. In the last several years, there have been multiple alleged cases of sexual misconduct on the part of teachers and criticism of the way that the school system has handled the cases. So right. What can you do to assure parents that their children are safe and that they're being protected in the school system?
So the first thing I honestly believe is that we have to make sure that everyone is trained, starting with the senior staff, with what Title IX and Title VI actually means, and then providing information on a regular basis. Then we have to also train our students with Title IX and Title VI. It's almost like the slogan where they had see something, say something. So making sure people understand that you are in a safe spot. And so I know that's going to take some time for people to understand. And coming in at this time, I'm going to have to lead a little more heavy-handed when it comes to issues and not take anything by chance. And so looking at the investigation process and how do we do it when someone is reported or when we have an accusation, how do we go about it? And I think that's one way that the community and staff will start to gain confidence back in the school district. We've got to show what is it that we're doing and how do we do it. Not necessarily telling them who we're investigating, but when it's submitted, how do we investigate those individuals? And I think that's part of it. So everyone will know what the process is.
Back to educational outcomes. One of the greatest challenges the schools face during this pandemic is making sure that all children receive an equitable education. Mm-hmm. So what do you think New Hanover County schools can do to ensure that the achievement gap doesn't grow wider between advantaged and disadvantaged students?
So the first thing we have to be able to acknowledge is that students come to school ready to learn. We have to make sure that all educators understand that all kids can learn. But we're here to educate kids, and the road out of poverty leads right through the schoolhouse. And if we don't provide them with a solid education, then technically we're not helping support getting them out of poverty. We want to make sure that individuals who want to go to college, we prepare them starting at kindergarten. If they choose to do career, still we provide them with the same rigorous curriculum that we would provide for those students who are going to be entering the college world.
Superintendent Faust, I appreciate you taking the time to speak with us.
Thank you.
At its Tuesday evening meeting, New Hanover County Commissioners approved two rezoning requests and the completed version of the county's Unified Development Ordinance. Rachel Keith has more.
Commissioners unanimously approved a 30-acre mixed-use senior development project on undeveloped land next to the Plantation Landing neighborhood in Porter's Neck. They also approved the development of a parcel near the intersection of MLK Parkway and North College Road for 22 single-family homes. Commissioner Cusack voting against the project was concerned about a possible expansion of that intersection. The commissioners then adopted an updated version of the UDO that directs development in the county. But environmental activists urged the commissioners to amend the rules when it comes to regulating heavy industry. Kent Burdett is the Cape Fear Riverkeeper.
What government wouldn't want to take every precaution possible to prevent the next Chemours or the next coal ash spill or the next metal bromide facility?
As the meeting ended, Commissioner Woody White expressed concern about how the pandemic is widening the education gap and disproportionately affecting minorities.
People with choice are migrating to private school, migrating to homeschooling, and it accelerates the achievement gap. It worsens all of the problems that we work decades to try to solve.
At their next meeting, commissioners plan to hear from new school superintendent Charles Faust on addressing disparities in education. Rachel Keith, WHQR News.
And on Coastline this week, Democratic Senator Harper Peterson is defending his North Carolina State Senate seat against Republican Senator Michael Lee. It's a rematch of the 2018 race. Rachel Lewis-Hilburn spoke to both candidates, and you can listen to that hour-long conversation on WHQR.org. On this week's Around Town with Rhonda Bellamy, Rhonda spoke with Ann Brennan, executive director of the Cameron Art Museum, who discusses the museum's reopening during Safer at Home Phase 2.5. You can hear that interview on WHQR.org. And that's what's happening in the Cape Fear region. You can listen to our continued news coverage at 91.3 FM, visit our website, or stream us online anytime at whqr.org. For WHQR News, I'm Caitlin Freund, and this is The Weekly.